Hi. On behalf of the Center for Evidence-Based Mentoring, I'm pleased to bring you some audio highlights from our Skype interview with Dr. Paul Hernandez, an associate professor in the Department of Teaching, Learning, and Culture at Texas A&M University. You can find a full edited transcript of this interview on our website, The Chronicle of Evidence-Based Mentoring. Thanks for listening.
Could you talk a little bit about what some of those both protective and sort of risk factors are for people staying in those STEM degrees?
I think I can safely say we know more about what helps than what hurts. There is some burgeoning evidence about what hurts related to STEM and mentoring. But what looks like what helps the most are relationships, protective relationships, and I'll just kind of put all of those, although this is probably inadequate, but I put a lot of those under the umbrella of mentoring relationships and relationships that are formed early with step-ahead mentors and role models.
Is there any research, or have you personally done any research on how you connect role models and how you build strong relationships and then how you operationalize the assessment of how strong those relationships are?
Those are good questions. And let me address the how do you bring together people and potential role models and or mentors. There's some really good work talking about Earth Science Women's Network. So it's a network that's was supported by NSF. And so that's actually a cornerstone for some of my work. SWN has professional development workshops. It's targeting early career, mid-career, late career faculty who are in the earth sciences, and these are women faculty, as well as postdocs and graduate students. So it takes this later end of the career development pipeline, and it's building a support program in ESWN. And it's kind of a light touch, right? It's this distributed network where people can check in, have an experience at a workshop, go back to their home institution and feel like they're part of something bigger than what they're experiencing at their own university. And it's through those experiences where they're able to identify more senior colleagues who have been where they're at, and where those senior colleagues talk about the steps they took to get where they were in graduate school, where they were at early career, to the next stage of their career as they matriculated forward. We took this idea, my colleagues and I took this idea, Emily Fisher, Becca Barnes, Sandra Clinton, Amanda Adams, we took this idea and we ported it to first and second year women in STEM who were exploring the idea of being an earth scientist or an environmental scientist. So we developed collaboratively this two-day weekend workshop packed with kind of exciting panels. It was an all-female weekend workshop where we brought in all variety, like very diverse women, diverse careers, in order to help them understand that these careers are attainable, they're satisfying, they're interesting, and they're worth investing your time in to solve real problems that people are facing.
From the mentor side, is there anything that you think is really important for someone who is poised to be a mentor to know about how they can kind of seek out mentees, or maybe not even seek out, but if they're approached or put in the position to mentor somebody, how can they be most effective and what can they do to really make that relationship as successful as possible?
So being deliberate, being reflective. There are some really fantastic tools to mentors. In fact, next week I'm going to a training myself better facilitate my own mentoring. Continuously thinking about how you can serve your students is really important. You know, what I would hope everyone would do is not reinvent the wheel on mentoring. Be very thoughtful and very deliberate about how they're supporting their students, how they're providing support for the students, and particularly, you know, thinking about mentoring across cultural circumstances, mentoring students who don't come from your circumstances, mentoring students who don't look like you or have the same experiences. How do you do that well? How do you do that with sensitivity? And I do, with some degree of frequency, provide support to my colleagues by running, you know, 1 hour or 4 hour half day workshops on best practices in mentoring. And I use that curriculum to help them think about how do you set expectations with incoming mentees. That's really important. How do you communicate with them? And communication is so key, and clear communication, and that's two way. It's not me just talking at them, but it's hearing and adjusting both to the relationship. So I would say to mentors, myself included, anyone who's mentoring someone in a STEM degree or field or beyond, you know, use those free resources to be reflective about your practice. And that's really what we have to think about. It's a relationship and it's a practice that has to be cultivated. And those relationships can be solid. They can be developed to be solid and mutually satisfying. But if you don't attend to them, and if you don't attend to your own practice and how you mentor, you leave so much more up to chance in terms of the opportunity for failed communication, the opportunity for dissatisfying experiences, thwarting experiences. So that's my recommendation, is to take your mentoring practice seriously and understand that it can get better. We can do things to make it better.